Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. It's good to have you here. And from the MacCast, Adam Christensen. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Cool. And I'm glad you were here as well. Yeah. And my guess is we're going to need all the time we can get. So we're just jumping right in. There is a new report out from Bloomberg that's a follow-up to last week's report about the Supermicro servers with Chinese spy chips on them. The new report says that a major telecom has been victim of this as well, but instead of being chips on the motherboard, it's a special chip that's hidden inside the Ethernet port on the server. And these are Supermicro servers being manufactured with the spy port or Ethernet port already in place and then shipped off. And so that's where we are right now. And interesting thing is all the big players in the phone service space have all said, yeah, it's not us. And some other names in the telecom industry have already chimed in today and said, not us. So what's up with this?
Oh, boy.
I have no idea what's going on.
I kind of liked Brian Chaffin's analysis. If I may.
You may. And I don't know if it was so much an analysis as positing what could be a very fascinating scenario.
Yeah, we're caught between Bloomberg's ability to report accurately and the affirmations of Amazon and the government and Apple. And it seems to be nowhere. Well,
and now all the major telecoms.
And now AT&T, Verizon,
T-Mobile, Sprint.
T-Mobile, Sprint. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so there seems to be no way out of the dilemma of the opposing facts, except this morning in our morning meeting, Brian had this brilliant notion that maybe some other country is inserting false information into Bloomberg's information stream and causing Bloomberg to stumble and create fake news that brings into question his credibility.
That would
explain both Bloomberg's adamancy about their sources and explain Apple and Amazon's denials of existence. It's a nice theory.
I think it's really fun speculation. It sounds way too spy movie to me.
You want to tumble further down the rabbit hole? Because there's certain government policy going on in terms of trade policy that you could follow that path down and allege that a certain government has an interest in helping a certain other government leader. And you guys probably know where I'm going with this, right? Or maybe I'm being too vague.
I know where you're going, Adam.
You know, like when this started happening and I saw the denials, one of my first, like, you know, tinfoil hat thoughts was, oh, well, this kind of helps seed in a lot of the American public that China is doing things that we really need to be worried about. And maybe we shouldn't be doing so much with China.
And I mean, that and seems like
Bloomberg could be a great mouthpiece to manipulate to support that.
Yeah.
But you'd have to do so much to make this appear totally plausible to Bloomberg because, I mean,
they're smart
people. And you would have to go to incredible lengths to fabricate so much information.
If we want to go all tinfoil hat conspiracy theory and really go deep down the rabbit hole, this is where we go.
Yeah, you're right. That's where we go. And so we're still in the same place we were when all this broke. And I offered up my not so helpful conclusion, which is either this is true or it's not. And that, and, I mean, that's the bottom line. And that's where we still are, because we don't have tangible information that, that can be checked. And we also still don't have all the other companies that were referenced but not named in the original report. They're not being leaked.
Yeah, and both paths stink, right? Because if you go down the path like this is all true, right? So say everything Bloomberg has is true and factual. That means that the U.S. government and all of these companies are colluding to cover it up, because they're vehemently denying that this happened, like publicly. Like, it's not even like, you know, and it, I think you pointed out, Jeff, rightly so, Apple has come forward and said they're not even under a gag order. So that would mean that there's, you know, if they were, they can't say anything at all. So they'd have to just be being silent. But none of these companies are being silent. They're all being very vocal in their denial. Mm-hmm.
And
so that means if you go down that other path, they're flat out lying.
And to think that you could get, that you could orchestrate that number
many
of people,
companies?
Yeah, yeah. That many companies, all the people that need to be part of this in those companies to all agree to conspire or collude to maintain this lie. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry. That just does not happen. You cannot orchestrate something where you have that many people that will all keep the secret.
Far easier to line up some manipulated, paid-off sources to feed false information. That's a lot easier to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot easier, because
you never underestimate a publication's desire to create a splash.
Yeah,
but exclusive.
Still, I mean, this is a very sexy story, because I mean, it's like a huge scoop if true. So I can see where that allure might make someone want to just rush with the story, but the other side of it is we're talking about Bloomberg, where they have a reputation and they do serious investigation into these pieces. And
but this supposedly all happened in 2015, right? Where there's no more forensic evidence remaining.
Well, if you believe Bloomberg's story, there is forensic evidence. We're just not getting to see it. And they conducted their investigation over the course of a year. So they were starting their investigation not long after this incident was supposedly happening. And now here we are with someone else stepping forward and saying, okay, so I was hired to go into a major telecom and do a security audit, and I found these chips in these in the Ethernet ports on the servers, and these are Supermicro servers, and then ultimately they were traced back to a specific subcontractor manufacturing them in China. So now we have someone whose reputation is on the line.
Yeah, someone on the record.
Yeah,
with his name out there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this is a very fascinating story, and my guess is that in the end there are kernels of truth in here somewhere. But the overall story, the way it's strung together, is going to prove to be inaccurate. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
I think we'll never know. Honestly, I don't think there's any resolution to this.
Well, considering we don't have other companies where people are leaking information to say, yes, we're the company with the Ethernet port hack, or we're one of the companies that had the tiny chips on our servers. Should be coming out already.
The only thing that might happen, and it would happen, I would imagine, pretty quickly, is that you get some other whistleblowers who come forward now that one has, mm-hmm. you know, sort of to join the fray. And if that doesn't happen, that's maybe also telling.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So we really don't know anymore. It's either this stuff is happening or it's not.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. I'm glad I cleared that up for you. So, all right, well, let's talk about something else that's causing stress for us, which is subscription services.
Freaking Disney.
Disney.
this is all Disney's fault, in my opinion.
Yeah, so.
Apple's to blame a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, we can also throw in CBS All Access and maybe a little bit of Hulu and some Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO.
Yep.
So here's our problem.
Oh, BBC America. We also
Don't forget about BBC too. America. Yeah.
And BritBox.
Who? Yeah.
BritBox.
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's their Hulu arm, whether you pay an Acorn. Pay for specific content for BBC access.
Mm. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. We need to fill in the listeners on what we're talking about.
What we're talking about is we're getting frustrated and concerned about where the whole subscription channel market is going, because it is now fragmenting out to the point where it's going to cost us a lot more to have the channels we want than if we just had a cable package.
Well, and it's not channels, right? It's shows.
Yeah, it's shows. Like, yeah.
I've said this from the very beginning. The problem here is I don't think people care about channels anymore. Mm-hmm. We care about shows. We care about specific content.
Maybe we care too much, Adam. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Well, yeah, but until streaming came out, sort of the solution was, well, just buy the shows that you want. But the problem was they were always cost prohibitive. So streaming started to address that. And it was fine when we had a couple of majors, right? You had HBO, Amazon. And Amazon, I almost don't even count, because for a lot of people, myself included, Amazon's just a bonus, right? I have Prime for other reasons, and now I get this extra thing. So mm-hmm. It's kind of in its own little world. So really, you had Netflix, Hulu, HBO, and that's about it. Like, it was like three or four. I'm leaving somebody
for a while.
I had four majors, and it was sort of manageable, right? So I have HBO and Netflix and Amazon all together, and I've been pretty happy until they announce a new Star Trek, and it's like, oh, that's going to be on its own thing. And then they say, oh, guess what? We're taking all the Marvel, Star Wars, and all the things off of Netflix, and we're putting those over here. Oh, and by the way, here's a couple of really cool Netflix shows, and we're only doing those on Hulu. And
Marvel shows that are just on Hulu. And yeah, right. Plus we have the Marvel shows that for now are staying on Netflix. Right. And we also have Disney, from what I understand, taking Star Wars and making that a separate channel, and Marvel and turning that into a separate channel.
That scares me even more when you said that. Is that really factually? Because I thought it was all just on one Disney service.
I might be misunderstanding, but I thought that's what they were doing.
So then it becomes pricing. Like, I would want to know how are they pricing that out then, if they're going to separate Marvel and Star Wars. That's just horrible, in my opinion.
Oh, and don't forget, DC is doing their own channel now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. DC's taking all their content from... Where is that now? Is that all on CW? And what's great about CW is you can basically get it free with ads, I think.
Yeah.
Still, right?
So, yeah, so they're pulling their stuff out of CW and off of Netflix.
You guys forgot about all those DVD and Blu-ray ads from 10 years ago where they'd flash it up on a commercial. Own it now. That was the big thing, right? Own it today on Blu-ray or DVD, $19.99. The strategy depends on being able to manipulate the viewers into a frenzy to have a completeness in their life. And we went through that with the going from VHS to DVD, where people were upset that they had a mixture of formats. And this desire for coherence and this desire for all-inclusiveness can be exploited. And I think it's coming to a head right now.
Well, it's coming to a head again. Because people get upset every time they have a format change. Yeah. And, but then, you know, the other part of it is the whole market is pushing to get us into this model now where we are paying for shows, but to get the show, you have to pay for a whole channel.
For a whole service, yeah.
For a whole service. And it's, I think a lot of people are now doing the sort of thing I am, where Star Trek Discovery, I waited until the season was almost done, and then I paid for a month of CBS All Access, binged the entire series, canceled my subscription. I'll do that again for season two.
I know a lot of people who are doing that.
I don't have time to be manipulated like that. There's nothing that's that important for me to watch that I'm going to go seek it out, subscribe, watch it, and binge, and then unsubscribe.
Yeah, but why not? You're not the average viewer.
That's not a huge hassle, right? I mean, that's basically like buying it through iTunes. And that was my other thing is like, are we going to get back to that point where it's like there's so many streaming services that I'm just better off looking for the shows that I want and just buying them outright? Now, right now, the difference is that the price model doesn't work because I think most TV seasons are still about $30 or $40. Mm-hmm. You want to buy them on, you know, it's like $2 an episode or whatever Apple charges, which is just, I've always felt that's always been too high. Like $1 an episode feels about right to me. But you know, economics being what they are, especially when I know I can pay $15 and get the whole season for $15 along with all kinds of other content. If I just grab their streaming service for a month. But then I argue, you know, is that easier for them? Like is it better if they have people signing up and then unsubscribing? And I know a lot of people who did this just for Star Trek with CBS All Access. I'd love to have a conversation with an executive because I did hear there was one change. Like, I guess when they did the season last time, the first season, they split it up into two parts. And now that season two is coming out, they're not doing that. And one of the theories of why they split it was to get people to not sign up and then unsubscribe and then sign up again.
But it didn't work.
Right, but it didn't work. And so it's interesting that they're now releasing it all, you know, straight in line. Are they still doing, they still do week by week though, right?
They're still doing week by week.
So you're going to have to still wait, Jeff, till they finish the whole season and then pop in, binge, and then pop out.
Yeah, I figure what I'll do is wait until they have like two episodes left, maybe three. And then I'll sign up and then I can watch and catch the last couple episodes before my subscription ends.
Yeah. And then you've got Apple coming
you're
in.
You're being manipulated, Jeff.
Of course I am.
I'm still holding out this false hope that Apple rolls theirs into Apple Music. And it's either just a small increase to my monthly fee or it's kept the same. And I just get the, you know, more of the Amazon model where it's bundled together. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that when this fragmentation really starts happening, those are going to be the services like you alluded to, John, that are going to be the low hanging fruit ones that sort of are more successful. It's right. It's I'm getting a lot more content value out of my $15 because, I mean, let's be honest, I have Netflix. And I'm overloaded with the stuff that I want to watch right now.
Brian Chaffin says, we're in the golden age of television. If you just subscribed to one service like Netflix, there would be so much quality content, you couldn't watch it in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's that same cable catch 22 too, where I've got 200 channels and I've got nothing to watch. I also feel like that sometimes too with Netflix. Like I don't know what to watch and like, I have to spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what's worth my time. That's because they've taken the shotgun approach to their original content where it's just like, God, would you guys stop releasing stuff for a little bit so I can catch up? You know, whereas like, I think Apple's approach is being very, very different where they're being, it seems to me, very selective about the content they're doing and they're shooting for a very high quality bar. At least based on, you know, again, we haven't seen the shows, so who knows how it's going to work out. But in terms of the caliber of directors and talent that they're choosing to pick for their shows.
And the upbeat nature. You know,
they have the potential to be very, very good.
Whenever one of those, as you were saying, Adam, whenever one of those new Netflix original series comes out, I read the two or three sentence synopsis. And if it depresses me, I move on.
You know? Right.
So and many of them are kind of depressing and negative. So I'm looking forward to see how Apple counters that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how the public reacts to Apple's, sort of PG-13 mandate, too. I, for one, am super excited about it because there's just a dearth of really adult, over-the-top, violent and sexual content on other services, and I like to have a break from that stuff. You know, like I'm not puritanical about it. I often feel like a lot of times it's thrown in there just because it can be, and that frustrates me when it's just not additive to the narrative of the story, because I'm more about story driven content personally. But also as a family person, it's super frustrating when I find, you know, really good shows where there's lots of good story and character driven stuff that I think, you know, my family might like. And then they throw in that extraneous content and then it's like ruined. It's like, well, now my kids can't watch this. Well, that's out, you know?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of that Marvel stuff is like that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
This is why Apple's been smart about this. I think they're going to succeed nicely.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of us that will respond to that. But they're going to get a lot of blowback for it, too. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to allege, oh, they've watered down their stuff and it's not, you know, because there is a whole segment of the market that's just the content that they really like. And that's why those shows on Netflix and stuff are successful, because they can be edgier than the, you know, the popcorn movies that Marvel has to put out for Avengers and stuff like that have to get that PG-13 rating so they can get the broadest, dollar at the box office.
Yep. And I'm already frustrated, and we haven't hit the point yet where Disney has pulled all their properties for their own channels.
Right. Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that will end up at this tactic of subscribe and unsubscribe, and it'll be interesting to see how the streaming services respond to it.
Yeah,
like if they care or don't care. And it's not clear at this point. You know, maybe they're fine with it.
Yeah, I don't know it, but I think CBS All Access is our first real test of this with Star Trek Discovery. Because
yeah, you're right. I can't see it lasting. I'm going to guess they break down at one point and maybe it's exclusive, you know, new seasons are exclusive on CBS All Access, but I have a feeling we're going to see some of these services, at least with some shows, moving into a quote unquote, you know, streaming syndication model where it's like, you know, like you're thinking about, John, eventually it's going to end up on Hulu or Amazon or Netflix, you know, some other service.
All content is eventually
catalog,
repurposed.
Right?
Eventually repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just wait.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, watch the good stuff you can and wait for the stuff.
Yeah. That's another valid point. It's like you're not going to be in a drought for content until that happens, right?
Yeah, that's
with
right.
Whatever service you might pick.
Yeah, that's true.
Like HBO is still going to be pumping out great shows that I can, you know, I can wait for Star Trek to show up on it, you know, Amazon when Amazon, you know, chooses to pay for it and syndicate it.
Yeah. And
so Eastern philosophy, patience, grasshopper.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Adam, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. As always, it's always fun.
It was a lot of fun. And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
As did I. Although I don't feel like we came up with many useful answers today.
There's no answers. It's just, you know,
just theories. More stuff for us to think about.
Yeah.
Yep. Listeners, I am so glad you were here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.